So, the big idea in this series that we're in is that God has a next for all of us. God has good plans. He has new things that he wants to do in our church, in our community of faith here, in our lives personally, that he wants to do this in us. He is with us, and he is for us. The theme verse of this series we've talked about before is Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. This is what it says. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Now, this was originally written to a group of people who had lost everything. Even their very identity was in danger of being lost. The children of Israel, their identity was built on the fact that God delivered them from Egypt, took care of them for 40 years in the wilderness, and gave them the promised land. This was their inheritance forever. So that's who they saw themselves as. But then, after they took the promised land, began centuries of walking away from God, turning to other gods, treating each other horribly. So finally God said, no, 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 no. And a nation took them captive, destroyed the temple, and took them away to what was Babylon, Iraq area now, but Babylon. They had lost everything. And in those days, if you were taken over, if you were destroyed by another nation and taken away, you didn't ever get it back. That's it. It's gone. So could you imagine what that meant? God is done with us. We've blown it too much. There's no hope for us. In the middle of that, God moves on the heart of a pagan king to say, you can return to your land. I'll offer you protection with my army while you're down there, and I'll even let you build your temple again. This is heady stuff. And so that's the basis of this scripture. I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Well, guess what? God cared very much for them and had a tremendous plan and a purpose for them. But he cares very much for you and has a tremendous plan and purpose for you and for me. And some of us might feel like we're in a wasteland or a wilderness, that in our job or in our relationship or in our finances, or we're just sitting in the result of a series of bad choices, and like we have screwed everything up. And I want you to know that according to the Word of God, God has a good next for you. He has a good next for anyone who will call on His name. That God wants to do a new thing in your life, in your world. He wants to make your wasteland into a beautifully watered garden. And yet we have to go through this wasteland in order to get to this promised land. But here's the thing. The journey into our next is seldom fun, just fun. The journey through a wasteland is tough. And I'll tell you something right now. Here's a big idea. The biggest enemy of our next is often comfort. Comfort is always the enemy of our next. We like comfort. I like comfort. Comfort. As a culture, we are in love with comfort. If you don't believe me, just think about all of the women you see wearing yoga pants. 99% of those yoga pants will never see the inside of a yoga studio. They will never do downward dog or flying ostrich or whatever. They'll never do it. But they're comfortable, And guys, you're no better. Sweatpants. We all love sweatpants, especially right now. Sweatpants, kind of brisk outside, watching football. I got sweatpants. But it ain't because you're sweating. It's because it's comfortable. Which sweatpants are just a half step from pajamas. Or we like to wear now track suits. I ran track. There is nothing more uncomfortable than track. But we ain't running track. We just like comfort. And it's not just comfort in our clothes. We also very much like comfort in our lives. We like known outcomes. We like guarantees. We're always looking for low risk, high reward situations. And there's nothing wrong with that until our desire for comfort gets in the way of following Jesus into our next. Because following Jesus into your next is seldom comfortable. It's seldom easy. It's seldom just what you have always known, how you've always operated. When you get serious about following Jesus into his next for you, it's a journey into the unknown. I mean, the theme story of our series really speaks to this pretty clearly. Peter, who became known, who was Simon Peter, became known as Peter, became known as Apostle Peter. I mean, talk about a journey into the unknown. He's standing there cleaning his nets because he's been fishing all night with no success. And then this guy, Jesus, comes up to him and says, "Hey, what's up?" And he goes, "What?" He goes, "I need to borrow your boat." He says it with a Spanish accent. And he goes, "I need to borrow your boat." And he goes, "Yeah, okay." Peter had no idea what was about to happen. He was about to see Jesus go out there, teach, then say, "Hey, let's go fishing." Peter say, "I've been fishing all night with no success. You only fish at night. It's too hot in the day. The fish go deep. You don't know that, Jesus? But because you say so, we'll go ahead. Throw out your nets." "Okay, throw out my net." Caught more fish than he had ever caught in his entire life, and has to fill up another boat so that his boat doesn't sink. That's not it. Then Jesus says, "Now leave those fish and follow me." So now Peter, who is married there in Capernaum and doing well, has a living as a fisherman, from that moment on, he leaves home. He visits regularly, probably has children or a family business that takes care of his wife. But now his life is completely turned upside down, to the point where he preaches the gospel all over the Roman world and eventually is martyred in Rome, probably crucified upside down because he said, "I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord." Do you think he saw any of that when Jesus says, "Hey, I need to borrow your boat"? No. When Jesus brings his next, it is a launch into an uncomfortable, at times unknown, but it is the greatest thing you can experience in life. There is nothing like it, the edge of adventure of following Jesus into his next for you and me. Now, what was comfortable for Peter was about to get turned upside down. And why did it happen? Why was he able to respond rightly? Because one, he was interruptible. It was okay for Jesus to interrupt his plans. Secondly, when he heard from Jesus, "Okay, it doesn't make sense to me to go fishing right now," but he was obedient. He did what Jesus said, and he was willing, even if it meant looking kind of foolish. You got to think, he said, "Man, all my homies are going to be laughing at me. I'm supposed to be the big dog fisherman, and I'm out here in the heat of the day fishing. Nobody does that. I'm willing to look foolish because Jesus has called me to throw out my nets." Now, for some of us, the biggest obstacle to following Jesus is our own comfort. We settle for what is easy. We want what is known. We want what is comfortable. And so often I see people miss God's next for them because they refused to get out from under their blanket. So today we're going to talk about why we just can't stay where we are. If you're a Christ follower, staying where you are really ceases to be an option if you're a Christ follower. Here's why. First reason, because Jesus is in our boat. And when Jesus is in our boat, then you're not going to be able to just stay where you are. I mean, when Jesus is in your boat, he's going to be inviting you to go forward, to go into the deeper places of surrender and sacrifice, to learn more of his will, to begin to learn more of his ways. The question is, are we going to trust him to lead us at that moment? Because who is leading the boat makes all the difference. It makes all the difference in your confidence and willingness to go along. Because you can say, "Jesus, yeah, I want you to come into my life as Savior. Save me. I don't want to go to hell." But he's not just Savior. He's Lord and Savior. That means when he's Lord, you've said, and you're leading the boat. Man, great people that come into your life that make a difference, your comfort is not their highest priority. One of the greatest men I've ever known was my father-in-law, who passed away a few years ago. I have a picture of him right here, my arm. This guy was the most disciplined man I've ever known. Pain didn't mean anything to him. He just persevered and did what needed. He could build a house, tear apart an engine, do all kinds of stuff. So when I got married to Didi, I came to his family, just a vato from El Paso. Yeah, let's sleep in, baby. It's our day off. Let's sleep in. One time, he had to get concrete poured for it to finish his driveway. I don't know how he did it, but on Easter, after church, a concrete truck is there. On Easter, while they're still finishing the ham and stuff in there, we're dragging concrete. And we have friends come over to have Easter dinner with us, and they're in their nice Easter clothes, and now they're out there helping us pour concrete. Tom didn't care about comfort. We were going to get that concrete down that we would all enjoy later. The greatest example was a mistake I made. I used to work at an aluminum factory when I was first married to Didi in Dallas, Texas. And across the street, there was an insulation company. And I made the mistake of telling Tom, hey, Tom, every day after work, that dumpster is full of insulation that's perfectly good, just missized or cut or whatever. He goes, really? Huh. So for the next 3 weeks, every day in the evening, we were out there in his station wagon loading up insulation. And the guy made bank, man. He was a vice president of United Parcel Service. But he just said, man, this is too good a deal to pass up. So he collected all the insulation that he needed to insulate his house, which was a nice size house. Now, who is the smallest guy able to get into the corners of the attic? The Mexican. And so it is August, 105 degrees, and my brother-in-law and I are wrapped in trash bags to keep this fiberglass off our skin. Trash bags and taped with duct tape trash bag that didn't work worth squat. And I'm crawling to the corners, stuffing insulation, and fibers of fiberglass are getting into every corner of my body. And, man, I itched for weeks. But at the end of that day, that was the best insulated house in the city of Dallas. Now, why? Because this man, he knew what the best situation would be, and he was not embarrassed to lead us there. And comfort was not really the factor, because then he would turn around, and he blessed more people than any human being I have ever known. He was more generous than any human being I have ever known in my life. Yeah. We pressed in, and man, I itched, but my gosh, my life was so blessed as a result of this friendship and relationship and partnership that I can never possibly describe. Who is in our boat leading makes all the difference. And if you let Jesus in your boat and you let him lead, well, man, you're going to see that he sees things that you don't see. You see, we see life like this through our circumstances, and we think this is the best right decision and the best right decision. But Jesus sees things from eternity. He knows what ultimately is best for us. Can you imagine the horror if God had answered every prayer you ever prayed? If he had given you everything you asked for, that would be a disaster. He loves you too much for that. He knows what's best for us. The key to learning this is to let go and let Jesus lead. Let him in your boat and let him lead the way. He said it this way in Matthew 16:25, Jesus talking. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. Man, when you surrender and you let him in your boat and you let him lead, you are not going to be able to stay where you are right now. He is going to move you into a glorious next. Second reason is because God's plans are bigger than ours. I mean, Peter had no idea what was in store for him, that he would become the Rock way before Dwayne Johnson. That Jesus said, "You're Peter, you're going to be the rock that I build my church on." As someday he would have this Cadillac crib, man, in Rome named after him, St. Peter's Cathedral. He had no idea. He had no idea that children would be named after him, that he would become one of the greatest apostles in all of history. He had no idea. All he knew is that Jesus was saying, "Can I use your boat?" He said, "Yeah, come on, you lead the way." Now, I come from a generation that was told, all your dreams can come true. You live in the United States of America. If you want it and you're willing to work for it, you can have it. You want to be a doctor? You can be a doctor. You want to be an actor? You can be an actor. With enough hard work and discipline, you can make all your dreams come true. We were kind of taught, it's like the field of dreams. You build it and it will come. Your dreams will come true. But then we buy into self-help books and all this propaganda and read blogs and videos, trying to get our dreams, our goals, our accomplishments, on and on. And it's not wrong. There's nothing wrong with having dreams and goals and wanting great things. That's not wrong. But we need to remember that God is not in the business of fulfilling my dreams. God is not my genie in a bottle that says, "Okay, I want this. All right, boom, now I got it. Yay, my dreams have come true." God is in the business of fulfilling his dream in us. His dream is the good dream. His dream takes into account all of human history and all of eternity. And he knows what is truly our absolute best. And his dream for us is that we would come into our full inheritance as sons and daughters of the living God. So he's at work at that. And sometimes we think, "Well, here's my dream. This is what I want. How come you don't give me that, Lord?" Because he loves us too much. He has greater dreams for us. We need to remember that. And sometimes you start something not realizing what the implications are, and God says, "Ooh, check this out." And boom. One of the greatest examples of this is a tremendous ministry here at Torrey Pines Church, the Torrey Pines Church Surfing Ministry. Some guys and gals had an idea, a dream. They started rolling, and man, incredible things have happened. Check out this video for just a moment.
My name is Darren Koss, and I've been part of the surf ministry at Torrey Pines for 10 years. We get to do a bunch of super fun things. We teach surfing to Wounded Warriors at Balboa Naval Hospital on Thursdays. We've invited them all out to Saturday mornings here at La Jolla Shores, where for the last 6 years, we've set up camp every Saturday morning for friends that we've known from church, for people in the community, for tourists that are visiting San Diego. And Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, we have a small group Bible study where everybody's welcome to come and check out the Word of God and just share their questions and bounce stuff off each other and learn about who Christ is together. As part of the East Lake Church Network, we're just excited to broaden our scope, to have a whole new set of friends who surf and love the ocean and love Jesus. And if that's you, we would love to have you come out to La Jolla Shores. We're here on Saturday morning from 6:30 in the morning until the bonfire goes out at night.
You know, when I was on active duty, Bob Bishop and Darren Clausen had mentioned the surf ministry down here at La Jolla Shores every Saturday. It wasn't until recently, after I got out of treatment for post-traumatic stress, that I started coming here on a regular basis now. Because not only is it therapy for me to get in the water, but to help other individuals surf, it's just changed my life, and it's helped me grow past where I was 2 years ago. When I do get excited to come down to La Jolla Shores on Saturday, I drive about an hour to get here every Saturday, and it's something that's well worth it for me. Not only do I get to spend time with friends, but most of the friends that I've developed through the church, I've become part of their families as well. And you know, coming down here is not just an event. It's time to spend with family.
Thank you.
when Bob and Darren and others begin to dream of this possibility, this ministry, feel the leading of the Lord, they had no idea how God was going to use them. No idea what was going to happen. A little over a year ago when I got here, I remember meeting Torin, the gentleman that was speaking there at the end. He would sit here on the front row, and he was closed down. He was angry. He was bitter. He was cynical. He was mad at God. He was mad at the military. He was mad at everybody. These families loved him, put their arms around him. He had lost both legs, I believe, in Afghanistan. And I saw him melt under the love of God. Go through treatment for PTSD, learn how to surf, hang out, and a transformation to the point where a few weeks ago he contacts me and says, I want to be baptized. And would you baptize me, Robert? And I'm telling you, I baptized a transformed man at that beach. There's a picture of it right here. And then my father-in-law, my arm. Anyway, we baptized Torin. Now, you see, this theme is through the entire Bible. God has a plan. He has a dream for you. If you will let him, he has a dream for you as a person. And he always fulfills his dream when we give ourselves to him. It never happens the way we think it's going to happen, but it happens at such a different and beautiful level. Here's how Paul writes about it in the book of Ephesians. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit, deeply and gently within us. God is at work deeply and gently in every person in this room. There isn't anybody on earth that he loves more than you. He didn't love Peter one molecule more than he loves you. And he wasn't more excited about his dream for Peter than he is about his dream for you. He loves you, and he has a wonderful dream for you. So our part is to stay open, invite him into the boat, and let him lead. Now, my dreams may not come true, but God's dreams will come true in me. And the good news is, God's dreams are so much better than mine. Now, here's a final reason why we just don't have the option of staying where we are. Because the kingdom of God is always moving. God isn't done. God hasn't said, okay, I've got enough people now. I'm not going to be bored for eternity. All right, gates locked. Us four and no more. No. He has a heart for every man, woman, boy, and girl on this planet. There isn't anybody who he loves more than another. He says, I'm not willing that any should perish. No, not one. Then why are so many perishing? It's not because it's God's heart. It's because he's saying, Lord, please raise up laborers, for the harvest is great, but the laborers are so few. Peter had no idea that he had just caught more fish than he had ever caught in his life. Do you know how many fish tacos he could have made with all those fish? And at that moment, Jesus says, come on, fish are great, making some serious bank is great, but we got a mission. And God is moving, and if you're hooked up with Jesus, you're going to be moving. He knew that he was going to need to move because Jesus is on the move. Because God loves every man, woman, boy, and girl. He loves every person in your neighborhood, in your school, at your place of business. He loves every person in this neighborhood. How do they get here? How do they hear the good news? Because you say, Lord God, here I am. Let's do this thing. Hey, would you come with me? Would you want to have coffee? Hey, I want to hear your story. That's called being a laborer. And the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. There was a shift for Peter. He knew that it was never going to be the same. Look at these words of Jesus. Jesus replied, my Father is always working, and so am I. I mean, he spoke this to religious leaders who had their religion and the rules and regulations. They were better than everybody else. And Jesus said, I ain't about that at all. Man, you're putting burdens on people that you can't even carry. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. His message was a message of grace and of mercy and of kindness and forgiveness and of new beginnings, and it still is. God's good plans for you and his plans of bringing his kingdom are like train tracks. It's not one or the other. It's not like, oh, is it either going to be his plans for me or his kingdom? No. You look at a train track, it's not which one is going forward. They're both going forward. And God runs it in parallel paths. His plan for you and the coming of his kingdom, they run together. And I'm going to tell you as we close here, this part of the service, one of the most powerful places to see the movement of God is in a growth group. I mean, right now, as you look at the back of the head of the person in front of you, I'm sure that is a lovely back of the head. I'm sure it has character and might even have hair on it. I don't know. But you can't have a relationship with that. You can't learn a story from that. You can't be inspired from that. You can't fall in love with that. But when you're sitting in a circle of 10 to 12 people and you're hearing the stories, you're crying the tears, you're celebrating the victories, you're falling in love with God's people, that's where you begin to see with your eyes because you're face to face seeing the story of God's goodness. That's why we are here we are about a 1-2 punch. Find a growth group. Be a part of regular corporate worship and find a growth group. And I'll tell you what, this next growth group season is going to be the most exciting season we've ever had. We have groups everywhere. There's a little piece of paper out there that will tell you all the growth groups. We also recognize that it's hard sometimes to set up babysitting and get all this going. So on Wednesday nights, I'm having a group for men. It's going to be out on the back patio of the Canyon View Room. We're going to look at biblical manhood for 7 weeks. It's going to be an incredible series. And so if 12, there's already more than 12, but let's say 12 men came, we'll have one group. I'll teach, we'll teach, have a video, and then we'll have one group. But let's say 25 men shine up, we'll have our teaching, and we'll have two groups. Let's say 45 men show up, we'll have our teaching, we'll have 4 or 5 groups. Everybody in groups of 10 to 12, learning and growing together. Meanwhile, on Wednesday nights, in the Canyon View Room, we have a generic group for men and women that is actually going to take the message that we talk about on the weekend and unpack it more fully. And Brian will be leading that group. We'll have childcare here. And so the youth will be meeting for their program. We'll have worship practice going on. We'll have growth groups. This place is going to be hopping on Wednesday nights. Also, there's groups that meet in homes all over the place. So when you leave here, there's tables out there. People will sign you up for a group, tell you about a great group that will work with your schedule. But I'm telling you, it's not because groups are just what churches do because we want to tell you more things to do. No, because we want God's dream for you to come to full fruition. And there is no greater place to see the movement of God than in a growth group. So let me ask you this question. When was the last time you let Jesus into your boat? Come on, Jesus. Sure, you can use my boat. And then are you willing to let him lead once he's in your boat? And when was the last time you were reminded that God's plans for you might be far bigger than your own plans? I believe God wants many of us in this church. And if this church is going to become the great church that I believe it can become, it's because person after person is ready to leave where they are and move into God's next for them. And not staying where we are. And it's going to look different for us. We're going to make a lot of changes. Not because we necessarily want to change for change's sake. But because God is moving. God is growing us. God is changing us. God's alive. For many of us, to move into our next means to let go of that hurt. To let go of that shame. To let go of that fear. To take a big faith step into something new. I'll finish with this. Andy Stanley in his book Visioneering said this. If you decide that what God is asking you to do with your life is just too much on you and is just a little too inconvenient, then you will never see the miracles he has for you. Let's not do that. I believe that miracles are waiting for all of us on our jobs, at our schools, in our neighborhood. And it all starts when we say, Lord Jesus, here we are, come into the boat, lead the way, and let's move out into the great unknown because we know we can trust you. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we give you praise. Lord God, help us in the days and the weeks and the months to come to experience as a community of faith, as well as individuals, help us to experience your great next for Torrey Pines Church, your great next for our lives. Here we are, Lord God. Our answer to you is yes. Now, tell us what to do. In Jesus' name, amen.